Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're going no huddle
with the NFL No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
NFL No Huddle every day at 11 o'clock to kick off this hour. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. Randy, a lot to talk about this morning in the National Football League as OTAs begin today for the Atlanta Falcons. Now what? They're not going to be hitting each other. There's no live contact, hopefully, unless they accidentally do it and then they lose some practices later on in the summer.
There's contact. Ain't no tackling or anything like
no
that.
Tackling.
No tackling.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the trenches, it's hard to block and not touch somebody.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
it's difficult to practice football in any way, shape, or form without having some sort of contact.
Yeah. Right.
It'll be the first time, though, we get to see a lot of the rookies in the same on the same field as a lot of the veterans. Now, one thing is definitely going to happen this week. One thing might also happen this week, and I think we can get in front of it and try to help people calm their nerves from the very beginning, okay? Julio Jones won't be there.
Okay.
And that's all right.
We already know this.
We know this.
I think we kind of already been knew this, but we're
just trying to help out.
We're trying to help because there's no reason to get upset.
No reason.
All right. Contract's going to get done.
Yep.
Julio is going to play this year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's okay.
Yes. So if you need to, just go back. This will be right at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour podcast. If you want to download the podcast on 929thegame.com, just take a seat, take a breath, take yourself back 365 days to last year when Julio wasn't at OTAs, and remember the production that he gave you in 2018. It's going to be okay that Julio Jones won't be there this week. Now, we know that that's going to happen, all right? Now, we also know that the national media is going to talk about it and put headlines on it.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere is going to make it a bigger deal than it is. We don't have to worry about that. You know, that only matters as much as you allow it to matter, and you have to remember that. What about Grady? You think Grady's going to be there this week?
No.
I don't either.
Yeah, no reason. Here's it. We know that Grady's going to play this year on the franchise tag. I find it hard to believe that they're going to get a deal done with him. So, no, it makes no sense for him to come. So he's going to be at a point where he's going to have a decision to make as far as the mandatory mandatory mini camps next month. So I think that's going to be the biggest decision for Grady. But, yeah, I don't expect him to show up at all.
I don't either. And, again, I think that that's along the same lines as the Julio situation. The only difference is Julio has done this before and Grady hasn't.
That's correct.
Julio,
Grady's never been in position.
He hasn't. No, he's had no reason to do this.
Well, maybe you could say maybe last year.
Yeah, because they were negotiating last year. But I think, I guess answer me this one, because I've had my theory on what last year was and the negotiation was last year, and I don't exactly know what yours is. I think Grady thought that it was going to get done last summer, and I don't think he thought it was going to be a problem.
No doubt about it, dude. And you know, being in a similar situation like that with Grady, thinking that you're going to get this deal done, you just go about your business and focus on it. And then once it doesn't get done when you're expecting it to, it gets frustrating. And I think Grady's a little frustrated.
You've been there?
I've been there in a situation like Grady where you're coming into your fourth year and you think your deal's going to get done before your fourth year gets here. And it can get frustrating and everything. And especially when you know that it's coming. I think that's the one obstacle when you're in these type of negotiations as far as contracts is you know it's coming. And you just, every day you're talking to them. You talk to them. They can always... All athletes, they like to play, well, I'm not worried about it. No. You're calling your agent every single day. What'd they say? You're getting called every single day.
Really?
Every single day. Don't let nobody fool you in thinking that they ain't worried about it, okay? You call your agent every day. We make any progress? You talk to him today? Yeah, it happens.
Like at what point of the day? Is that the first thing you do?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're waking up and you're dialing Drew Rosenhaus every single morning.
Yep.
Hey, Drew.
Yep.
What's up?
Yep.
You talk to him?
Yep.
What'd they say?
Or Drew will call you, yeah.
How'd they sound?
Dude, every day. Don't let it fool you. Don't let it fool you.
Doesn't that kind of remember like when you were younger and you knew you had somebody who was friends with the girl that you liked?
Yeah.
And you'd have them talk to the girl for you. What'd she say? What'd she sound like?
Yep.
How'd she respond? Okay, did you ask her? Did you tell her that I liked her?
Yeah.
Okay, what did her face look like after she said that? I need body language. I need you to describe to me what the body. It's kind of like that.
Yep. I'm telling you, when you're expecting a contract and you know you're going to get it, oh, every single day you're talking to the agent. And I'm sure Grady's talking to Todd France. I'm sure he's talking to Todd.
How did he keep it fresh? Because he couldn't tell you the same thing every day.
Yeah. It's like, well, no, it didn't happen. Or, I mean, sometimes it's a five-minute phone call. Did you talk to him today? Nah, we didn't get in contact today. Okay. Let me know. When you hear something, let me know. And then the next day. Hey, heard anything today, Drew? Yeah, I got in contact with the GM today. We're still going to throw out some numbers there. Okay, cool. Next day. Hey, Drew, you talk? Yeah, it's just like that. So don't let these athletes fool you, talking about them. I'm not worried about it. Yeah, right.
What about, like, if you called them and you asked the question that you meant to ask, and then as soon as – this happens to me in radio segments all the time. As soon as I'll tease and go to break, and it's like, dang it, I should have said this. You ever call them immediately back and be like – all right, I also wanted to ask you this question.
Nah.
Is there back-to-back phone calls?
No.
Okay. Nah. It sounds like a really frustrating situation.
Yeah, it is. It really is, dude. Don't let these people act like it's not. It's frustrating.
I'm with you, though. I don't expect to see Grady Jarrett this week. I don't think that's a big deal anyway, but I do think it's a slightly different deal than Julio Jones, just given the contract situation, given the fact that Julio has done this before. And look, they got till July 15th to get Grady Jarrett's deal done. I don't think they're going to do it. I hope they do it, but I don't think they're going to do it. Now, as for the rest of the guys that will be in there, it'll be fun to see all of the new offensive linemen in there. We got a chance to hear from the rookies a couple weeks ago. They'll be there today, now mixed in with some of the veteran offensive linemen. That'll be a fun process to see play out throughout the entire offseason.
It's going to be funny to to follow D-Led and Vaughn and those guys to see where they're starting at. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll put out so-and-so's in with the first team. I'm interested to see who will be in with the first team as far as these rookies. I think Lindstrom, he'll definitely be there. McGarrity, it's going to be a different story. I don't know. I think he's going to start the season, but, I mean, it's still early.
We're going to get back into this coming up in about 15 minutes. But today is also, as far as I understand it, unless they've been working together otherwise, this is the first official day where Vic Beasley and Dan Quinn are going to start that love me or hate me spring relationship. This is what Dan Quinn said.
He said it.
Back in February, right? He said he's going to take a more hands-on approach with Vic Beasley.
He did.
That he's essentially taking personal responsibility for turning, you know, the first-round draft pick back into the guy that he was in 2016, or at least close to the guy that he was in 2016. And that by the end of the process, by the end of the spring, he's either going to love him or hate him. That starts today. Now, I don't know that we're going to be able to see obvious incremental updates as this goes on. But it's good to know that that process is beginning, and I'm just interested to see how it plays out. I'm interested to hear from Vic about it. I'm interested to hear from Dan Quinn about it, and obviously the bottom line will be when the fall rolls around and he's on the field out there trying to get to the quarterback, but that begins now.
Yep, it begins, and I'm anxious to see, because this is where Dan got his start as a defensive line coach. Now, he is one of the best defensive line coaches in the National Football League, and he's going to give Vic every opportunity to be great, and him taking over the defense, one, and him not going out to get somebody to replace him and him putting that tender on him, that lets you know that, hey, I'm strapping, you know, my boots, my whatever you want to Vic Beasley. I can get him where he needs to be. I don't know if I can get him 15.5, but I might get him 9 or 10. And then the other guy on the other side, I get him double digits. That's what Dan is banking on, health and his ability to call a defense.
Is that the single biggest item of pressure that's on Dan Quinn's to-do list for this coming season?
Yeah. Easily.
Because there's been a lot of stuff that's been done or been said this offseason. And we all understand. And whether Arthur Blank sort of kind of talked about or addressed the report that he was feeling restless last week.
Right.
It still sounded like a guy who was restless. And I think we still believe that he is restless. He should be restless. I'm restless.
Why not?
I want the Falcons, like we said about the Braves. They're a championship ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And it is time to do that, essentially. Dan Quinn made a lot of moves this offseason and said a lot of things this offseason. I think that they're, if you're power ranking the items that Dan Quinn has to take care of in order to be around in 2020, that Vic Beasley line item is very close. We'll get back into that in 15 minutes at exactly where it does rank and the other things that are important, almost like if he had a honey-do list. I know you and I both had pretty significant honey-do lists.
I got to mine a little later than you.
Well, yeah, you had other stuff to do, though.
Yeah.
You had to fly up to Boston and go to a graduation.
Yeah.
I was, as soon as I was off the air on Friday, I was in the attic.
Dang.
I was in the attic nailing stuff, cutting boards
up.
Did
you go to my house and do some stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
Small fee. Small fee.
Okay.
We also had a really good idea. It was so hot in the attic. Now, I won't say a really good idea. We had an idea. You can tell me if you think that it's good. It was really hot in the attic on Friday when I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like sauna hot.
Right.
Just dripping, disgusting after being up there for a while. People like to do yoga in circumstances like that.
I do.
Attic yoga.
Why not?
All right.
Why not?
$1 million idea.
Why not? I know it's hot up in my attic. Why not? I'm with you, dude.
All right.
All right.
You going to come over and we'll do some attic yoga?
Not a problem.
All right. Great.
Not a problem.
Perfect. All right. On to the next story. Chris Long retired after 11 seasons. You used to play with Chris.
Yeah, man.
I saw you guys going back and forth on Twitter last night having a conversation, yeah. And congratulations to him.
Yeah, Chris, you know, him being the number 2 overall pick, it was a big deal in St. Louis because the organization was divided between him and Glenn Dorsey that year. Mm-hmm. And it came down to, you know, Coach went ahead and said, pull the trigger on Chris. And so the rookie show we always do, you know, we make fun of everybody. And so we wanted Chris to play Coach Linehan, and he was afraid to do it. That's why at the end of my tweet said, you can make fun of the coach now. He was terrified because he was like, he's the only one in the organization that wanted me and everything. But get back to Chris. He's a great man, great teammate, good dude, very charitable man. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things you'll know about Chris. He didn't live up to the hype of being the number 2 pick, but he was stuck at St. Louis for all those years. But dude got back-to-back Super Bowls with 2 different teams.
Yes, he did. And, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You're right. The number 2 overall pick, obviously, is always going to bring with it a certain level of hype. His legacy, though, is always going to be incredibly powerful, at least for me, given what he's done the last couple. Yes, stood by Malcolm Jenkins, teammates, and then just donated his entire paycheck to causes that he believed in, mm-hmm. in Charlottesville.
He's a good man, really good man.
He put his money where his mouth was, absolutely. All right, we'll get back to some other NFL stories after we put some money where your pocket is, hopefully. $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
glass. GLASS, glass, to 72881 from your cell phone for your chance at $1,000 in the National Signing Bonus Contest. Glass.
Get that money, man.
There you go. GLASS. Like last night, had a nice glass of wine.
Oh, there
with
you
dinner.
Go. Nice job.
And then a couple after.
Yeah. And so, a couple after that.
And a couple after. No. Only a couple. It was delicious, though. We ordered some sushi last night. It was pretty good. So there you go. That's what last night was. Wine and sushi.
Wine and sushi. That sounds like a good night right
there.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah, that sounded like a
good
night.
It was really nice. Watch Game of Thrones, all that. All right. Interesting article, which I guess is my middle name. I didn't realize that I said this so much.
I told you, I'm going to get you a T-shirt that says, like, every time we're in the bullpen, you all, I mean, it happens every single day. Interesting article. And you're like, you want to talk about it?
Hey, guys, there was an interesting article.
All you got to do is say, hey, guys, let's talk about this today. But you say, that is your, like Brian caught it. That's your key phrase before Andy wants to talk about this on the show today.
Well, because here's why. I always want to make sure that you guys want to talk about it, too. I never want to go into anything where it's like, I want to do this.
Right.
And then you guys are like, all right. Like, I want to make my case for the topic that I wanted to get into. I never want to have it seem like some sort of sort of dictatorship or something like that. I think we all have equal voice in the topics that get discussed on the show.
Well, no. Because we don't have equal voice in the Windy Zone.
That's true. That's one segment.
Yeah, but still.
By the way, coming up in half an hour from right now.
I got some trendy stories.
We can do a Randy Zone if you want.
I just want to throw it out there.
I still want to do a Randy's rant.
Randy's rant. Oh, yeah.
Randy McMichael.
I was telling them, you know, on the Instagram where they have the things you can buy, the shopping thing. I asked Wendy, I said, how do you take it off? How do you turn it off? Because I buy something every single day.
Well, like it pops up an ad that's catered to you?
Yes.
So they know exactly who you are.
Every single day, and I buy something.
What is it? What do they get you with usually?
Everything. Everything pops up, I want to buy it. And I told them, I don't know if you watch One Tree Hill. They had a Lucas Scott jersey. I bought Lucas Scott's jersey, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My wife has long been a fan of Randy McMichael.
Yeah,
he just became her favorite video host.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I got an issue. And I need to learn how. I need to know how to turn it off.
What's better, One Tree Hill or Friday Night Lights?
Friday Night Lights.
I agree. I don't even think it's close.
Yeah.
She and I were having this discussion because we're now midway through season 2 of Friday Night Lights.
Uh-huh.
She had me watch a lot of One Tree Hill as well. I never really got into it. I like
One Tree Hill, but not everybody liked it.
Love Friday Night.
Friday Night likes the thing, though.
That Tim Riggins.
Yeah.
That's a great character.
That guy.
All right. So there was an interesting article that I wanted to talk about in Peter King's Monday or Football Morning in America column today, where he asked 25 different people in football, coaches, players, media folks, if they were allowed to change one thing about the NFL to make it better, that they think would make it better, what would they do? We'll get to some of the things that they said either today or at some point during this week. But I want to ask you that question. Right. If you could change one thing about the NFL that you think would make it immediately better, what would it be?
Well, I wanted to say what you went, but you, this is your idea, so and it was really good what you suggested. I'm going to go with no Thursday night games and make Monday mandatory day off for the players. Make Monday mandatory day off because Tuesday stinks.
Randy had an interesting one. He said that he likes all of the quarterback rules.
Yeah, I don't
mind protections to the quarterbacks. And I was just like, it's so obviously that comes from a place of trauma.
Let me tell you something.
Having to have played with a bunch of backup quarterbacks in your life.
There's nothing worse than playing with a back. I mean, and maybe because I played with so many, I can say this.
You did.
Dude, there's nothing worse than playing with a backup quarterback, dude. And the league is not as fun when the guy, like.
No, I agree with that.
The league is not good when Tom Brady needs. Yeah, protect him. Why not?
Yeah.
I'm an offensive player, too. But still.
But that just came straight from experience.
It did, dude.
Randy was like, oh, I like all the quarterback rules because the better the quarterback, the better the offense,
Exactly.
The more passes caught.
Exactly.
The more passes caught means the more touchdowns for Randy McMichael.
It's rough on them streets with a backup quarterback that hasn't played more than three games.
Who's the quarterback? Yeah, just we'll put it out there. Who's the quarterback that threw the most ridiculous pass in a bad way?
Oh.
That you were just like, really? We're in the NFL.
I'll never forget. We played Denver. On a Sunday night game, we lost our quarterback, Jay Feeler, and we were cooking, and we end up winning that game. So Ray Lucas comes in. Ray's my guy, Rutgers guy, and Ray comes in. We just play Buffalo. He starts, and Ray comes out hyped. First drive, we go all the way down and score. I catch a touchdown from Ray, and then it went completely off the rails. Ray was overthrowing everybody by like 6 yards and throwing it to every defender but the nose guard. Like, Ray threw like 5 interceptions that game. It was good Lord.
A Nathan Peterman type
performance.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad.
I would make contracts fully guaranteed, and I would give every player who plays one down of NFL football lifetime health care. That's what I would do.
I mean, that is so great because – and give you a reason why you said that.
Because I think that would be a long-term solution for a lot of the short-term fixes that the league has right now with player safety. You can justify football looking the way that it always has. I'm talking about 90s, 80s, Smash Mouth, 70s football. If you take care of guys.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to take care of guys and you're just looking to avoid litigation, then you're going to start making rule changes that make football not look like football.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, you can afford it. And if you're driving around right now saying to yourself, oh, they shouldn't do that. They don't have to do that. You're siding with the owners?
Never side with them.
Come on now.
I'm never siding with the owners.
Side with the players. They're not hurting for money. Not that the players are hurting for money either, but they're hurting themselves for money.
For money, yeah.
We'll come back and get back into some of the Falcons topics with OTA starting today. Should we be more concerned with the rookies or less concerned with the rookies than we are with guys that are still on their rookie contracts? I think there's some guys flying under the radar right now that we need to get into coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Andy Randy.
Hey, Atlanta United supporters, tune into Stoppage Time. Presented by Aaron's this Wednesday at 2 p.m. on 92.9 The Game's Facebook page. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, Joe Patrick talk all things Atlanta soccer. Don't miss that. We'll get back into some Atlanta United a little bit later. They lose yesterday, unfortunately. The winning streak comes to an end. The clean sheet streak comes to an end. Still some positives coming out of yesterday's game, though, in an interesting way that it ended. A melee, as Mike Conti put it, on the field yesterday in New York at the end of the soccer game.
That was
if you can't beat them, fight them, I suppose.
Yeah.
Now we have a melee.
Now we have a melee. Oh, man. So, yeah, unfortunately, the game didn't go the way that you wanted it to, but at least there was a little bit of excitement at the end. We'll get back into that a little bit later. The Wendy Zone coming up in 20 minutes. Wendy Adams in studio with a working microphone. So look forward to that as well. Wendy, by the way, producing the program today, Wendy Adams. Brian Gebhardt running the ship behind the glass. They're both waving currently. Brian holding up 3 fingers. I guess he just made a 3-pointer in an NBA game.
Yeah.
OTAs start today, Randy.
Yes, they do.
And we talked a little bit about that earlier. Look, OTAs are fun, kind of, for us in the media because we're going to have some audio. We'll have a reporter out there today.
Who's going up there for us? Probably Tanitra Jarvis.
Maybe Jarvis. Yeah, Jarvis, the 92.9 The Game Falcons insider, maybe up there for us today. But, yeah, so we'll get a chance to hear from some of these guys, which is good. Maybe a headline or two come out here and there, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But nothing substantial is going to happen. Nothing substantially positive can happen. You just hope nothing negative happens out there.
Greg is hurt.
Right. That's absolutely what you can't see. But other than that, it's a formality. This is one of the things that happens during the offseason, but that's okay. It also gives us a chance to get back into some of these Falcons topics and rehash some of the things that are happening right now. And one of the things that we know that is starting right now, it probably has already started in some capacity, but is going to start on the field with a hands-on approach between Dan Quinn and Vic Beasley, right, is that love-hate relationship. Now, I don't really know what that means. Like, I don't know how he's going to love him or hate him at the end, but I do like the idea that Dan Quinn and Vic Beasley are going to be working more together, that Dan Quinn is taking a more hands-on approach to trying to fix this thing. I do wonder why now and not 2 years ago, but whatever.
I mean, you both
neither here nor there.
We're both on that one.
Just get it fixed.
And it just won't be Vic. I'm sure he'll bring Tack over there or anybody else, because a lot of times whenever you see an after-practice type, you know, deal where the coach is individually working with somebody, some guys usually come over too. And if you're a young player, I always tell people like that. When you're a young player, there's no reason why you should not stay after practice and work on stuff. There's no reason why, all right? Because as soon as you get off the field, especially OTAs, you're done. You might have to go work out or anything, but you're done for the day. And during the season, you probably got 90 minutes before the end of practice to the first meeting that you got to go through that. There's no reason why you should not be on the field for at least a half hour or so working on something.
And I'm glad you brought up the name Tack, because I think that there are a handful of guys on the roster right now that are going to be on the team, that are going to play significant roles for this team coming up in 2019, that we maybe are glossing over a little bit because of the obvious headline name. Vic Beasley is a name that you're going to focus on. $13 million, first-round draft pick, fifth-year option. Dan Quinn talked about, like, there's all these different reasons why Vic Beasley is the headline story when it comes to the pass rush.
Right.
There's no reason why Tack McKinley shouldn't be in that conversation as well.
I don't know why he's being left out.
I don't know either.
Yeah. And I say this all the time, and it's not a real shot at Tack. It's more or less, you know, they fall in love with your Twitter and your energy. Well, I need more of that. I'll take less energy and more plays on the football field.
That's a fine
I don't care about you
side dressing.
I don't care you cutting your hair. No, I don't care. And Falcon fans don't care about your hair. They want to see production on the field. You can talk, you can tweet, you can dance out of every sack, whatever. All right, fine. When you're dancing, that means you're getting sacks. But nobody don't care about that. Everybody, this city needs you to produce now. Not wait till next year. No, now.
Mm-hmm. And again, hopefully the hands-on approach is applied to Tack McKinley as well, because his first 2 years, there have been really great moments.
Yes, with flashes.
But there's been a lot of frustration. And I think probably his greatest, I'm not attribute, but the thing that is protecting him the greatest is the focus that's on Vic Beasley.
Right.
Vic Beasley's frustration has us a lot less focused on what's frustrating in terms of Tack McKinley. I think the same thing can be said about Isaiah Oliver. Now, it's 1 year.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. I'm not off the Isaiah Oliver bandwagon. I know some people saw a couple moments last year and said, see, the terrible draft pick.
The Cincinnati. Right. That play. He's young.
Let's let him start a few more games before we decide exactly one way or another. But I think Desmond Trufant has helped him out in that way. Desmond Trufant has had all of the attention on him over the last couple seasons. And again, money is always going to be a part of it. The guys that get paid the most are going to have the brightest spotlight on them. But while Desmond Trufant is really important for the secondary to be better, I think that across the board, the secondary has to be better. And having guys healthy is going to be a big part of it. But there's a number of players that are coming into this season.
The thing with Isaiah
that are flying
Oliver,
under the radar.
The thing about Isaiah Oliver is that, do you know how important the number two corner is?
Very.
It's very important.
It's
a
important.
Very big deal to be out there, and they have confidence in him. And as the season waned on, you saw him getting more playing time. He came in and relieved with not necessarily come in nickel situation. He came in base situation, replaced Robert Offer quite a bit down the stretch. And now it's on him. But Dan, you drafted him. Dan drafted him. Dan knows how to use him and knows what's going to, you know, what he can put on this kid's plate and what he can't, because he's still a young player. Mm-hmm. But it's go time for him. You've been elevated. You know, you've been put at a level where it's go time. And you're going to be out there when it's blank cutting time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, he's going to have some still because he's still a young player. But at the same time, that's what I mean when at the practice, you stay out there. You work on your craft, because sometimes you got to realize that you get paid a lot of money to play a game. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no 9-to-5 type. You know what I'm saying? This is your job. This is your craft. So you should want to be great at it. But because we know that KZ, I think they let Poole go because they wanted KZ to be their primary nickel. You got to find a way to get a guy like him who's a ball hawk, who's a turnover machine. You got to find a way to get him on the ball, on the field. And right now, they don't have a second corner outside of Oliver. I mean, that's your spot because you don't want to put KZ. You don't want to put KZ out there,
right?
You don't want to put him out there.
You got the kid you drafted from Ohio State in the
Kendall
fourth Shepard, round.
He's
got plenty of potential,
plenty of speed.
He said over the weekend that he has the talent of a first round draft pick, which I love.
No, people thought that, but yeah. Because of the injury.
The injury
yeah, but some people thought that he was a first round guy.
And you love to hear somebody with confidence like that. That's great. So yeah. There's a little bit of depth there as well. But again, it's Isaiah Oliver's job when the season starts. That's why you made the moves.
It's his job.
It's his job to lose.
Yes. Don't say when the season starts because you never know what's going to happen in training camp. We don't know what he can do out there. But you need he's got to step up big time because – you're elevated to that second corner spot. And possibly, you never know, might be elevated to the first one.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Would that be good or bad?
That'd be terrible.
It would be?
Yeah.
It could be good if he takes the first spot.
If he takes the first.
Because he's playing so well.
Exactly. If he takes it, that's great.
Yes.
But it's kind of bad,
too. It would be bad if it's because Desmond Trufant is playing the type of football that he played too. Because last year, Desmond Trufant was the best corner on the team.
Yes.
That's true. Now, partially because he played well at times, partially because, the guys behind him weren't
playing
the best.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, Robert Alford was the best corner.
And everybody knew that.
Everybody knew that.
Everybody's like, coming into the year after the Super Bowl, they were like, oh, Robert Alford's the number one corner. And a lot of us in this city, we were saying it. And then it just seems like Robert, he just went back to his lane because his biggest problem is panicking when the ball's in the air. Mm-hmm. That is his biggest, because he's grabby, holdy. And I always laugh at corners that you got to make sure you look around and see if there's a penalty before you get up and celebrate if you break up a pass. That's him. You're like, okay, no penalty. Okay, now you ain't getting nothing on me. That kind of stuff.
That is my favorite thing. When a quarterback will overthrow a pass or a receiver will drop a ball and a defensive back will act like it was your presence, I guess? I guess your footsteps, I suppose.
There's nothing worse than the corners like that. Like, dude, I dropped the ball. You didn't have no effect on it, but you get up and they're throwing their hands like.
Who is the worst guy that you played against that did that? That would get up, like, say you dropped the pass or something like that. That would get in your face.
Nasty Nate. Nasty Nate. Nate Clemens. I call him Nasty Nate.
Okay.
Nate, it didn't matter where you were on the field. Nate gonna cut you. Like, dude, Nate would hit you in your ankles and your knee, and then he would get up with a whole fist pump, and it was usually when you didn't see him. So you're blindsided by him, and he just comes and cuts your leg for money and jumps and stands over you. Nasty Nate. Nasty Nate.
All right, now we're looking – if we're making that list of – to-dos for Dan Quinn in 2019. He put Vic Beasley on the top.
Yeah, he did.
He made Vic Beasley line item number one. I think he made the defense in general probably line item 1B by making himself the defensive coordinator and saying, look, this is what it's going to be. It's better when I'm in charge.
Right.
There is some evidence of that being true. Again, I don't know why wait if that's true, then just be in charge of it the last couple years. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. That's behind us. There's no reason worrying about that. What else are you putting on that list in terms of the things that are most pressurized for Dan Quinn coming into 2019? Fixing Vic Beasley
is one.
Because that has the trickle-down effect on the entire defense that has the potential to get you back to that top 10 type defense you were in 2017.
It's all, like I said, Dan, you got to take care of that part of it. Also, you've got to find a way, because it's all about health. That's what they're banking on. Mm-hmm. Dan's banking on health, and he's banking on him knowing this defense better than anybody he's going to call it. I would definitely say short yardage, and you're going to see, and he's going to talk about it a lot, and we're going to be up there during training camp, and I'm almost positive they're going to have a whole lot of short yardage type situations. I mean, it's going to be a more physical camp, I think, and because that has been something that's been lacking here. I mean, when Mohamed Sanu is your best short yardage runner, and I mean, it's good, and I think Mohamed's great. I mean, I'm a big fan of Mohamed Sanu. Then something's lacking. You know, so I can see it being to a point where you're going to see a whole lot of goal line periods, a whole lot of short yardage periods up there where, not necessarily saying the running back is live, but it's going to be some pad popping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for this team.
It is. That's what they need. On defense, Dan Quinn's tying himself to Vic Beasley. And on offense, by investing the money in the draft picks that they did on the offensive line, they're tying themselves to the ability to pick up those tough yards. Couldn't do it last year. The wild Sanu is not a good third and short play. That was the best play they had last year on third and short.
Yeah.
This year, the best play that you have on third and short should be run behind your offensive line.
That you put a whole lot into.
A power run. How about that? That'd be nice.
Looks
just
good, though.
Power it up the middle.
It's so pretty when it works.
It's so great when it works. And you can impose your will on the other team like that.
They know we're running, guys.
All right, we'll get to the most important audio in the universe at the top of the 12 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the Wendy Zone, Wendy Adams in studio.
Fame.
Working microphone and all. After this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 11:40. Time for Wendy Adams to fill us in on what's going on in the world of sports and entertainment with the accompaniment of Lady Gaga. I always thought it was Bay.
It can be whatever you guys want it to be.
All right.
Mess up lyrics all the time. What's going on, guys? And I know you want to talk about the Game of Thrones finale, which I'm so excited is finally over, but there was another boo-boo in last night's finale episode. I'll fill you that in a second, but I want to talk about this because this would have made me feel some kind of way if I was Brooks Koepka's girlfriend on Sunday.
That was so great.
So he entered Sunday's final round, the PGA Championship. He had a 7-stroke lead, so it essentially made it sort of a one-man tournament, or what would have been thought of a one-man tournament heading into the game. So not the case for Brooks, because he kept a serious face on. So they were walking out to start his round, and his girlfriend was rocking right next to him, and she attempted to give him a kiss, not once, but twice, and was denied, not once, but on both attempts to try and kiss her boyfriend to wish him good luck, and you could see the mood shift really quickly in her body language, because he denied her once.
She was hurt.
I don't blame her at all, because her arms were crossed after the second denial. She's like, all right, fine.
I just got a question. Is that his main thing? Because that's usually
what,
like...
What do you mean?
I'm just curious. Is that your main thing?
Yes, she's been on a lot of his
Okay, that's all
him.
I didn't know.
You thought it was a side chick trying to sneak a kiss?
A side chick like, hey, don't be touch. You know, that's that new thing where, all right, yeah, we kicking it. But when we out in public, I don't need nobody to know that.
No.
That's how he played her, though.
I know.
That's how he played her.
But side chick doesn't walk with you from the putting
green
to the first
minute.
Tee.
That's what that Brian just said. Yes. She's been in for... So that's what I'm saying.
Side chick is in the gallery.
I got all that. That's why I said he treated her like, you know what? We together off camera. You can't post any of my pictures with you on social media. That's the kind of relationship they had. But y'all keep telling me she always with him, right?
That's his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well,
yes, that's his girlfriend. His long-term girlfriend.
Wow.
Don't deny me in front of cameras because it's embarrassing.
You know
that's embarrassing. I don't care how serious you are.
He denied her that sugar.
But you know what? I'm locked in.
And that could be it.
I'm in my pregame zone.
Yeah.
He, like, turned her, but then moved his head. Like, but he moved his head.
Yeah.
Like, just go for it and just one little peck and that's all you had to do.
That might have broke his concentration, though.
No, but what would have, like...
if he kissed her.
But wouldn't it be more messing up your concentration if your girlfriend is now ticked off at you for the rest of the day and
she had her arms?
I bet he
didn't even
notice. I know he didn't notice.
Oh, there's no way he didn't notice her body language. Go for it. Exciting to her going in the opposite direction with arms crossed.
Or they could have had an argument in the... when we didn't see it, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. It could have been something like that. She probably could have went through his phone or something and saw something. I mean, there's so many different things, man.
There's a lot of different things. Here's the one thing.
Would have been angry.
I bet you wouldn't have been angry 4.5 hours later when he got paid $2 million for winning that tournament.
No, because he also kissed her at the end of it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Because when he was
focused.
He was so focused. Like, when I'm walking from the bullpen to the studio, if my wife tried to kiss me, I would deny her of that. Get out of here.
Such a liar.
It's game time.
Because you would be in so much trouble if that was the case.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
No.
There's no reason for that. Come on.
Was he in the middle of the round when this happened, or at the beginning?
No, the beginning. Walking out.
Oh, no, you got to give her a kiss.
Yeah, it was a bad move.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to give her a kiss.
It was a bad move.
That's a fight at the end of the day.
Dude.
Yeah,
he shunned her.
Even though he came home with $2 million that day, they still had to talk about that.
It was the first thing.
Because it's so public. Because it's so public now. And I wonder if he's going to have to make an apology.
To her?
Yes.
Yeah, because she... That, you married. You know how... that. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody can frustrate you more than your wife. And what they do is that they cannot speak to you and mess up the whole mood of the house.
Oh, yeah.
The whole house. Not just...
You can feel it in the air.
You can feel it in the whole house.
Yeah. It's like a different setting on the thermostat.
Yes.
Air conditioning, heat, and anger.
Yep. Oh, damn. She mad.
This anger coming out of the vents.
Yes. We're pretty good at that.
Yes.
We're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, there's something wrong.
There's definitely something wrong.
Can I fix it?
Nope.
No, don't worry about it. Okay.
No, there's
great.
Nothing you can do.
Only time and chores and the silent treatment are going to fix this thing.
That's it, brother.
Yep.
But does it make you guys feel uncomfortable?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
It is.
So that means it works.
It's an effective strategy.
You can go anywhere. I can say, you know what? I'm going to go outside and still just be mad. She's just being there watching her shows like you know, you sneak out. You hungry? You want some meat? And she don't say nothing. No, I'm good.
Dang it. All right.
New strategy.
Maybe I need to go win a golf tournament and make $2 million and try to make it up to her like Brooks Koepka did.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Game of Thrones is officially at an end. I won't give away any spoilers because I don't know them. I have not seen the show, but I'm very excited that it is gone. I know a lot of people were upset with how it ended. Not a lot of happy Game of Thrones fans this season. And y'all are telling me to go, I should go and watch this show. But every week it's like, this is a terrible episode. Or this is bad. Why would I want to go and watch?
Yeah, it's a hard sell. It's hard to say to somebody who hasn't watched it before with the way that everybody reacted to season 8 that they should go watch it.
Correct.
Just stop watching it at the end of season 7.
And then not know how it turns out or it ends.
It's better if you don't.
Okay. Because a lot of people were saying yesterday they would rather had not watched it if that was the ending that they came up with.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was fine.
And I said it earlier.
It was just rushed.
It was rushed.
I didn't even have a problem with that. My thing, I always use Hugh because Hugh is so into it. Like he has to rewatch it and break it down and say, like, I don't care. I made sure that everything got done so we can sit down in front of the TV at 9 o'clock and watch it.
And I'm somewhere in between that. Yeah. Like, I'm not Hugh over here analyzing all the dialogue and trying to figure out, you know, what this means and what that means and the symbolism. Brian Gebhardt's over there with Hugh, too. Like, he's
Brian's on that side.
Randy's over here. He just enjoys it casually. And
whatever.
I'm somewhere in the middle. My big thing is, and this is, you know this about me, mm-hmm. I'm a consistency guy. I need from friends, family members, wives, coworkers, athletes, managers, TV shows, I like consistency. And season 8 was inconsistent.
It was.
With what the rest of the series was like.
And going back to how you view it, like the guys that come on after us, now they're big. Now Carl is to another level. I mean, if you wear a costume,
Carl's very upset.
And I'm still going with that. You know that, right? That he wears his costume when he's watching it.
Well, of course he does.
Mike Bell.
What do you mean still going with it?
Mike Bell's a little bit like you in the middle.
Why would you not be going with it? That's the truth.
Yeah, I'm going with that with Carl. But yeah. Like he's gonna lose it today. He's gonna have be prepared. Dukes of Bell 2-7. He's gonna be on one today.
Carl gets in around 12:30, 12:45.
Yeah.
Odds that he'll be wearing his Night's Watch uniform.
He's not gonna wear it because he's so disappointed right now.
I mean, he's one of the 10 million calling out from work today.
Yeah.
That's what I understand. Why would people call out from work today?
Depressed.
Because I understand after the Super Bowl.
They stayed up late rewatching it.
The Super Bowl is a drinking situation.
Depressed.
The Game of Thrones, you can't drink that much during it because you want to remember it.
Depressed.
Just depressed.
Depressed.
All right.
You're just sad. But I don't know if you guys caught this or not. You know how we talked about the Starbucks coffee cup that wasn't Starbucks, but it was left on the table. And there was another one where they forgot to, I guess, edit out a hand. Some guy didn't have a hand in the show.
Oh.
Well, last night... Okay. I won't give away the scene that it was in because I think it's a spoiler, so I won't say what scene it is. But there is a water bottle that was left behind one of the guy's legs.
Wow.
That was not photoshopped out, and
Come
it's
on.
Very evident that it's, I mean, you can't deny it. So it is, the meme is all over social media, so if you haven't seen it, you probably don't want to see it because of the scene.
See, now, that is exactly consistent with what season 8 was. Hasty.
Mm-hmm.
Just hasty. It's like staying up all night the night before a paper is due and trying to knock it out with an all-nighter. That's how I felt about the entire... It was like the writers waited to the last minute and procrastinated.
Right.
And then they were like,
the editors.
Now this is going to happen.
Here's my thing, Andy. If they didn't make us wait so long for this series, would it have been as bad?
No.
If it was the typical duration between seasons, would it have been better that way?
Yeah, it would have been.
Okay. I do have a question,
but because
question,
they made
though.
Us wait so long.
I mean, did the writers know... ahead of time before that year and a half mark that they had to write the final season, or were they rushed to write the final season and film it in a year and a half?
And correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. I think the biggest difference is a lot of the first 7 seasons were in the book, and the final season was stuff that hadn't actually happened in the book.
Right.
So it was basically the writers had to come up with conclusions and things like that. Is that right? Everything after season 6 was new. And it's kind of obvious. All the stuff in seasons 1-6 was more detailed,
right.
more creative, more clever, more everything that you loved about the show. And then 7 and 8 were kind of like, all right.
I'm just wondering if it was a time thing more so than anything else.
Yeah.
Not enough time to write it and be creative.
I think that's part of it.
I think that's definitely it. But again, I was cool. I mean, I gave up on HBO season endings when they messed up Sopranos. Mm-hmm. They messed up Oz. I was just like, you know what? What was the other one I watched? I can't remember.
Well, the end of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad was great.
It was pretty great. That was a good ending.
I like the endings of Americans. I love the ending of Americans.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this was whatever.
Season 5 of The Wire kind of felt a little bit like this.
It made me mad.
Everything was so rushed. It was like, oh, you didn't have to. Yeah. It could have been ambiguous, but you had to tie up all the loose ends. You didn't have to do that. All right, great stuff, Wendy.
This is why you don't watch series like me.
That's the last time we'll probably well, that won't be the last time we talk about Game of Thrones in the Wendy Zone, is it?
Probably.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the most important audio in the entire universe of all time to kick off the noon hour. So don't go anywhere because this audio is vital right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.